Well, good morning and greetings in the precious name of Jesus, and just a real blessing again to be here. Maybe just to get started, if you don't have an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will hand them out to you. I'd like to ask a question. This came to me as I was sitting here just participating in the service this morning. Whose church is this? Is it your church? You know, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Recently, when two brothers were licensed in our congregation with the intent of ordination in another couple of years, and sitting back in the audience listening to them preach, I became very much aware that Christ is building His church, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I was really encouraged this morning. I want to commend our sister for sharing. To be able to have someone share in your midst of God speaking to her heart. I wish I was able to communicate what I think is so important about brotherhood. Sometimes you have these yearnings within your heart, but you're not able to really express them the way they should be expressed. But church should be a place. Church should be a safe place where people can share what the Holy Spirit has ministered and spoken to them and know that they are safe. I was at a church service one morning. Ellie and I were visiting, and during the sharing time, this just blessed me. A person got up and said to the congregation, a very large congregation, they said, in light of what was shared here last Sunday morning, we do well to zip our mouth. And I didn't know what was shared, but I knew that someone probably had shared a confession. And this person was just reminding the congregation of the responsibility that they had to each other. There should not be people in the church that feel alone. And sometimes we feel alone. But I would remind you that sitting beside you are brothers and sisters who struggle with the very same things that you struggle with and live with. It's taking me a little to get started this morning. I have too much I want to say. But anyway, I do want to tell you that the ministry team asked me this morning, they said, is there anything you have to say to us? Of course, they caught me off guard, but one thing I said, I just want to, and I want to communicate to this to you as a congregation. Ellie and I have felt very much at home here, and felt very blessed, and we have deeply appreciated the spirit of this group. You people have listened so well to me. I don't know. I've been so encouraged just by your response and your encouragements and. Yes, I even like teasing. I enjoy teasing, so that doesn't bother me a bit. And I just want you to know that I feel like there's a spirit here that I can just bless and appreciate, and I just want to encourage it. And if I could say one thing about being together this week, I hope that I have encouraged you and challenged you in the commitment to brotherhood. And by the way, young people, you are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today, which is, we understood what you meant. And I, by the way, young people, do you know what a high school senior is? How many of you are seniors this year in high school? Oh, we got a few. And I wanted to say, I have appreciated the young people here this week. I just love young people, and their presence has encouraged me. But Walter Wilson says, a high school senior is someone who knows everything there is to know. And they know it. I was 17 years old. I had done carpenter work for 1 year. And I knew everything there was to know about being a carpenter. And we were building a house, and my dad knew absolutely nothing. We're out in the front of the house chalking a line for the soffit across the whole front of the house. He's on one ladder, I'm on the other ladder. And I have this very particular nature. So he's holding the end of the chalk line, and I'm holding the other end, and I pulled it tight, getting ready to chalk the line, and then I pulled it tighter, and the line snapped. I'll never forget my dad's response. He got off the ladder, walked into the house, and left me there to think about things. So, young people, please be patient with us. We'll grow up someday. I tell young people that. Be patient with mom and dad. They'll grow up someday. No, I appreciate young people, and I heard about this mission trip, and I just want to bless you for that. One thing that I think about today is young people have the opportunity to go all across the world, where in my youth, we didn't have those opportunities like you have it today. And may God, in those opportunities, may God plant seeds in your heart that'll give direction and purpose to your lives as you serve Him. I have gotten, there's a couple more things. I have gotten a few questions. And I really appreciate that. I think I should be getting a few more. But tonight, I want to be able to look at some of those questions. It actually, as we have gone through this series, there is kind of moving towards a conclusion. Tonight, we're looking at the whole question of legalism versus license. Or we're looking at those two extremes. And I hope at the conclusion of the service tonight to be able to give us some direction in how we work through situations that come up within the brotherhood. I think about this. You have your young people, perhaps at one end of the spectrum. You have us older people. And I don't look at myself as old, but when my dad turned 30, he was getting pretty old. Well, I'm over 60, and that's still pretty young, but you guys don't see me that way. Brother Dave's getting over the hill, but anyway. There's a huge spread within the local body of Christ, and the challenge of being able to work together as a team, from the oldest to the youngest. Wow, I think about what can happen when people become committed and they're working together, and I believe that God is able to do amazing things when that happens. So tonight, I do want to look at some of the questions, and hopefully it can be a blessing and encouragement to us. Today we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I would invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to that passage. I consider this a very sad portion of Scripture. I mentioned last night, you had these people marvelously delivered from Egypt. They watched God's miracles. They saw God's work in their behalf. And yet it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. We're looking at the subject of liberty. And today we're seeing liberty as seen through the lens of bondage. We talk about our glasses. Well, today the lens, what does liberty look like through the lens of bondage? And young people, hear me well. God has called us to liberty, but it's so easy to live on the edge of that liberty and be determined to express that liberty to the point that we actually can be ensnared again in the yoke of bondage. I will begin reading here at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers, now just think about this, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. And they did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And it says that rock was Christ. Verse 5 says this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, verse 6 gives us something here. These things that we're going to look at today, these things were given to us, to you and I, in 2016 as examples, as lessons, as warnings, as admonitions, as encouragements. These things are given to us. What are the assets of liberty? How many enjoy the blessing of being free? How many just, you know what it feels like to have that freedom and that peace and that joy in your heart? And I think every one of us who's accepted Jesus Christ, I was 10 years old, I remember it so well, sitting in a revival service, I was a young boy, but I knew when God spoke to my heart, I could still feel the tension of knowing that God was calling me. I would often say to my children, I'd say, you know what? Someday, God is going to speak to your heart. God's going to call you. And I said, when God speaks to your heart, just listen to Him. And that night I went forward and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And when I walked out of that church, the moon happened to be shining. And I felt like I could jump over the moon. Such a joy and peace and blessing and rest of having experienced the freedom that comes in Christ. And so there's these assets and blessings of liberty that we find in this passage, a miraculous deliverance from Egypt. By the way, I'd love to preach on family, but when my son asketh thee, fathers have come to me and they say, Dave, how do you talk to your children about spiritual things? How do you talk to them about morality? How do you talk to them about the issues of life? And one day I was reading in my Bible and I came to the passage in Deuteronomy that says, and when thy son asketh thee. By the way, children ask questions. Children ask hard questions. Family worship. We're sitting around. My dad's leading family worship. My older sister, Shirley, we're sitting together as a family. Wonderful times. My dad seemed to have long family worship, but looking back today, what special times. One day the neighbor came in right in the middle of family worship. My dad didn't miss a beat. He said, "Hey, come right on in. Here's a chair." And he continued right on. But that night, my sister asked this question. I've never forgotten it. She said, "Papa, what will happen to the people who have never heard about Jesus Christ?" And I'll tell you something. I still remember how the sober reality kind of fell down upon our family as my dad attempted to communicate the importance of Jesus Christ for everyone to go to heaven. Children ask questions, and you as parents have had to face some of these questions. And this isn't my sermon, but in there it tells us how to answer. Let me just quickly say, son, daughter, I want you to know something. Your dad was once in bondage to Egypt. Your dad was caught in the ravages of sin. But I want you to know something. There was a marvelous deliverance. God delivered us out of Egypt. It's almost like God gives parents a format. And here's what I say. Son, let me talk to you about sin. Let me talk to you about temptation. Son, do you struggle with sin, with temptation? Let me talk to you about the provision of Christ. Let me talk to you about the issues of life. Let me talk to you about addiction. Let me talk to you about, and you can go on and on. And in Deuteronomy, God gives parents a beautiful outline for how to speak to sons and daughters. The transmission of faith. So here we have it. They were miraculously delivered from Egypt. They had the spiritual identification through baptism. They were identified as the people of God. They received spiritual nourishment and direction. Have you ever thought about how many times you've been in church? How many times you've heard the Word of God? And it's like God saying, grow, grow, grow. And that's why I like to see these young people up front. I feel a lot better with you guys way up here. That's just, you know, actually, that's a little admonition I'd have for all of you. Now, if you get too close to me, I do spit sometimes. So that's, but up here is where, how anxious are you to grow? I love to see young people that are wanting to grow in their spiritual walk with the Lord. They receive spiritual nourishment and direction. But if we read on in this passage, here's what you have. The abuses of liberty. In the midst of God's deliverance, guess what? And let me encourage all of us today by saying, guess what? You will always face the battle of the flesh and the spirit. The lust of the flesh. Just because you've accepted Christ and just because you're His child doesn't mean that you're going to coast to heaven on easy street. It doesn't work that way. In fact, often when we are committed to Jesus Christ, Satan knows that and does everything he can to try to enslave us back into sin. And that's just the challenge and encouragement that you can be assured with every commitment, Satan will try to take away the blessing. People said, "Give us quail." No, he said, "Give us meat. We're tired of this old manna." You get tired of church, and church is boring. Same old, same old, same. Week after week, give me something different. Well, they wanted meat, and they lusted after meat. And in so doing, it says this. We won't turn to it. while the meat was in their teeth, God smote them. And thousands of God's people died because of lusting after the wrong thing. Just because you're a child of God, just because you have liberty in Christ, doesn't immune you or make you immune to the determination of the tempter to get you to fall. And like the children of Israel, this is an example. Exodus 32, Moses went up on the mountain and the people said, "Where's Moses? Where's our leader?" And they said, "Make us gods." And Aaron formed the golden calf, or the calf. And in that situation, many people died. Numbers chapter 28, the Moabites. Satan used to beguile the children of Israel. And again, well, let me just, in idolatry, there was like 3,000 that died during the golden calf. With the immorality, there was like 23,000 to 24,000 that died. And then in tempting God, in Numbers 21, pushing God to the limit, again, because they were discouraged about the way, many would have lost their lives. And then when they were complaining, another 14,000 lost their lives. The abuses of liberty. Living on the edge of liberty can open the door to temptation in our lives. So what are the admonitions for us this morning? Well, let me just say this. Those who try to honor God while giving expression to the flesh dishonor God and bring judgment on themselves. We can push against the limits of our freedom and end up being entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And so the admonitions of liberty. Beware of self-confidence. We find that in verse 12 where he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." I'm climbing a tree. I have a favorite cousin. He's over to my house and we had a willow tree and I kind of idolized this cousin. His name was Nelson. So here Nelson came out to the yard and I had climbed clear to the top of this willow tree. I was pretty proud of myself and I said, "Look, Nelson." And it was amazing. No sooner had I said that than the limb I was on broke. I'll tell you, I never knew there were so many limbs in a willow tree. And I came the whole way down through, landed on the ground at the base of the willow tree, and ended up the rest of the evening in the house on the couch, not feeling very good. I often think about that. Beware, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And I reminded us yesterday, you know what, brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are. You can be a preacher, you can be in any position. Satan doesn't care, but Satan sets out to see if he can get you to stumble and to fall. And so Paul says, these lessons, look at the children of Israel. They were God's people. They were chosen. They were baptized. They were receiving spiritual food. They had Christ following them. And yet, all of them, except for Joshua and Caleb, didn't make it to the promised land. They were overthrown in the wilderness. And so, the admonition of liberty in this case is take heed. Beware of self-confidence or beware of thinking that you stand. Take heed lest ye fall. Told you about the young person who came to my house, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Dave, I cannot believe I've allowed myself to get to where I am today." Well, you know the song, "Sin will take you much further than you want to go." Sin is very seductive. It is always moving. It's always changing. It's always calling for more. And little by little, people get mired down in addictions and in situations that they never intended to go there. That's the nature of sin. And that's why you don't play around with it. That's why you run away from it. That's why you stay far away from her door. Number three, temptations come to those who are experiencing liberty. Because temptations are common to man. Temptations do have limitations. What I mean by that is God tests every temptation. He knows whether or not you're able to be victorious in those temptations. And temptations are screened by Him. And temptations always come with a way to escape. By the way, young people, I don't know how to encourage and challenge you today, but I will say this to you. Your parents cannot protect you from evil. Your church cannot protect you from evil. We live in a day where the exposure is right there, and what we need is young people who can set boundaries in their heart about things they will not do, places they will not go, experiences they will stay away from. Look for the way of escape in temptations. Verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, and will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Flee idolatry. That's in verse 14. And we spoke a little bit about that. Beware of who you make a sacrifice to. If we go down further, it talks about the Lord's table and the tables of devils. It talks about sacrificing to devils, and it talks about sacrificing to the Lord. So beware who you make sacrifice to, and don't drink out of the wrong cup. These are all very logical and yet very important spiritual principles for the person who wants to maintain and walk in Christian liberty. Don't sit at the wrong table. Had a young man come to me, he said, "Dave, I wanted to be a witness to those guys, and I ended up doing the same thing that they were doing." Your close fellowship would be with those who will encourage you to do what's right. So don't sit at the wrong table. And keep in mind that God is a jealous God. God wants all of us. He doesn't want just part of us. He wants our whole heart and life. So, we have gone through a number of different lenses in this weekend together. The lens of knowledge, the lens of right, this morning the lens of abusing one's liberty. What kind of liberty is it that glorifies God? And as I think about this, I again come back to the fact that, you know what, people? You're not an island to yourself. God never intended that you live and walk and move and function independently. That's why I believe God placed children in homes. I've often said this, that one of the greatest battles that we ever face in life is the battle of our wills. God told Adam, He said, "Adam, And I want you to think about this. You know what, people? We were created to live in a garden without weeds. We were created to enjoy the blessing of God's presence in the cool of the day. We were created to walk in open transparency and freedom. Do you hear me? But every one of us, all of us sitting here today, at some point, have taken our own way. God told Adam, He said, Adam, and I can just see the heart of God. By the way, someone said, I think in Sunday school class, Danny, you talked about our view of God. And I've often thought about this. Most of our view of God does come from our daddy. And yet at the same time, I want to tell us that, and I've talked to many young people whose daddy was not a good character of God, but it's a blessing to be able to tell people what our Heavenly Father is like. And I want you to know something. Our Heavenly Father is the God of invitation. From God calling to Adam in the garden, to Jesus saying, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, to Revelations where He says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him that is athirst. God is a God with the outstretched arms. He's the God of invitation. He's the God who continually invites and calls us to Himself. But God told Adam, He said, there's one tree. And I think about this. Do you think that tree looked any different? I can hear people today, that is so stupid. Why that tree? With a group of young people and summer Bible school. They were struggling with church. They were struggling with their leadership. They were struggling with restrictions. So I said to them, what are you struggling with? And they said, Brother Dave, we have got to shut our buttons for church. Every week, we have to shut our buttons. And they said, we don't read that in the Bible. So I looked at him. I said, let me ask you a question. How many hours a week do you have to shut your button? They weren't too impressed. Adam, you can have all the trees. But there's one that you need to leave alone. The battle of the will. I'm taking a long time to say something. God put children in homes because God knows that unless our will is surrendered to Him, we will not be of any use in His kingdom. Mark it down. And you know what? I've watched people go all through life fighting things as insignificant as a tree in the garden that make absolutely no logical sense. And so they resist it. Now, how does this relate to what we're talking about? Let me just tell you, the lady who wrote to me in church when I was preaching, I go back to that. She said, Brother Dave, you're in bondage because you preach these things, but you won't even sit with your wife Sunday morning. You're in bondage to, she was really saying, you're in bondage to that old-fashioned idea of your dad or whoever. I don't know if she knew that. But I would ask the question, what is freedom? What really is freedom? And what is bondage? And I've watched people in bondage in relationships because they're determined to do it their way. By the way, even after you get your way, a lot of times it doesn't bring the satisfaction you thought it did, you thought it would. and you still are unsettled. And that's why young people look at the fruit of a person's choices as you're making your decisions. I don't know why I went through all that. Edification of others and instead of self-gratification. Seeking the good of others instead of oneself. Consideration of others rather than condemning others. And another's conscience instead of my own. These are all aspects of liberty that glorifies God. I was at Rosedale Bible Institute a number of years ago. Our teacher told the class, he said, bring your definition of nonconformity to class tomorrow. It's kind of funny, so next day we got into class and there was a young man there who borrowed a plain suit, which I'm wearing one this morning, you can see that. He borrowed a plain suit. He's sitting in the class with his plain suit on and there was a little bit of, you know, as there would be a little bit of humor going on. And so the teacher said, what's going on? And he said, well, I wore my definition of nonconformity to class. I really wish it was that simple. It's not that simple. God's glory is the ultimate goal. The profit of others instead of my own. Okay, I'll go back. That's the end of that. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Tonight we want to look at legalism and license. And I would just invite, if you have questions at all, I know that this is a pretty normal congregation, and I'm sure there are things that in your mind you're wondering about, and I can't say that I have the answers to those questions, but I certainly would be willing to try to address the questions that you have. But I guess my closing challenge this morning, with the liberty that Christ has offered us and has set us free with, there is a warning and there is a challenge of not living too close to the edge of that liberty where we are once again entangled in the yoke of bondage. And may God give us wisdom to know how to surrender our hearts and our wills to His purpose so that we can be effective in His kingdom. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for the love and the care You have for each of us and the redemption that You've provided through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for the openness and the peace that comes to us as we yield ourselves to You. And I pray that You would bless Your people this morning in the challenge of relationships within the brotherhood where there are differing preferences or even sometimes convictions or what we think are convictions. Lord, I pray that You would give us the ability to be able to be sensitive and be careful in our responses to one another so that Your kingdom can be expanded and that it can accomplish what You want it to accomplish in each of our lives. We commit each of these people to You for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.